Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Today is another Bob and Richard show where we answer questions sent in by our readers.
Or our listeners.
That too. So the first one is about a broken link. Somebody said he tried it on iTunes and he couldn't get the show. So Richard, what do you say about that?
Yeah, no, I just wanted to address this because I appreciate the people who reached out, some via Twitter, some via the email address, gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. And I just wanted to say, if there are these kinds of issues that are time sensitive, the Gmail email address does not get looked at as often as, for example, if you message me on Twitter or on Facebook at the Gambling with an Edge Facebook page. So if there's something that's urgent, and again, a broken link to the episode is urgent, yeah, just hit me up on Twitter or Facebook. Twitter, I'm at RWM21, and Facebook is facebook.com/gamblingwithanedge.
Good. All right.
And, oh, by the way, that link did get fixed within minutes of me seeing it on Twitter. So if anybody's still having a problem with iTunes, please let me know. But you shouldn't be.
Yes. Typically, the only reason we look at the gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com is when we're having a Bob and Richard episode. And so that can be 2 or 3 months. So before this show, I looked at I had a lot of old emails to look at. So some of you are just got answers the day of we're taping the show. So that's the way it is. Speaking of shows, there's a show I've heard of called Noises Off that's supposed to be funny. Richard, do you know anything about this?
Yeah, so this show should be going up on Thursday, September 5th, which is opening night for Noises Off, which is out at Super Summer Theater, which is a beautiful theater out at the Spring Mountain Ranch next to Red Rock Canyon. And I'm in the show. So there you go. For all you surveillance people who want to see what I look like, you can come see the show. Noises Off is the funniest play I have ever seen. I've seen it several times before this now being in it. But anyway, so if you want a really nice evening out under the stars, bring a bottle of wine and some food and come out and have a fun-filled evening.
Now, I'm going with some adopted grandkids ages 11 and 13. Will they likely be able to appreciate most of the humor?
Oh, yeah. They will appreciate it. And also the ranch, all the shows they do are family-friendly. So, you know, you literally, they have to edit shows that might have F-bombs in them. It's safe for kids.
Okay, good. The next one came from a listener. It wasn't a question to us, but rather information that well may be useful to our listeners. I'm going to read it as written. I have no way of judging the accuracy of it, other than this is somebody that Richard and I have met and corresponds with us a lot, and it's high level of information that he gives. It involves Royal Caribbean, MGM, and Caesars. Here's what he said. Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines will upgrade one spouse to the status level of more frequent cruising spouse. Royal Caribbean Cruise Line is associated with MGM. If you have a high status level with Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, then you can get MGM to match your level. It works the other way around from MGM to Royal Cruise Lines as well. Once you have the MGM upgraded status, you can go over to Caesars and they will match the MGM status. Note, Caesars will only match status once every other year. So if you're married, one spouse can get the match 1 year, the other spouse can get the status match the following year. That way, the married couple can always get their 2 free show tickets each month, for example. A few of the benefits at each casino actually require some amount of play, not just the status level. The most frequently used ones don't have that requirement, such as immediately getting free parking and free monthly show tickets. So it's useful advice to some of you, I'm sure.
Yeah.
All right. Question from a listener. When you guys were on the radio, you had to cut the show to 1 hour. But now on the podcast, you can go on forever. Why do you cut the shows to less than an hour now?
Well, we have a syndicator who reposts our show somewhere. I don't even remember. But his have a 1 hour limit. So that's why we have limited it to an hour.
Yep, that's it. All right. Next question for Richard. Where's the best place to live as a starting card counter with a small bankroll?
Well, I can only guess, but if I had to pick a place, I would say Seattle. There are a ton of card rooms there with very generous free play, you know, mailers, daily mailers. So if I was a starting out card, and there, as I say, there are a bunch of casinos. So if I was a starting out card counter, that's probably where I would go if that was my only consideration of where I was going to live.
Yeah, hope you like rain and coffee.
But, right.
Now, what about if you were a full-time pro with a larger bankroll other than anywhere near an airport?
Well, no, I mean, that's the answer. I guess I would pick Denver because it's in the middle of the country, sort of. Yeah, Denver, Kansas City, somewhere like that. Just because, you know, pick an airport hub because you're going to be on the road a lot. So, yeah, I would pick somewhere in the middle of the country with a good airport.
I'm guessing now I want to know what a good airport means.
Well, if you want to fly out of, say, Milwaukee, you're going to have not as good flight options as you would out of Denver or Atlanta or something like that. That's a good airport.
Okay. And another thing on good airport is when you carry a large amount of money in and out of Las Vegas, you can get through TSA with no problem. They're used to this. There are some areas where carrying money through airports might be a problem, and I don't have any of these off the top of my head, but I'm thinking that is probably the truth. All right. Somebody wrote, I'm new to gambling and realize it's a lot of casinos in the United States, and most casinos give free play just for signing up for video poker players' cards. I understand some casinos owned by the same company, and not every casino has a different card. I'm considering visiting a lot of casinos to travel in my job, and if it's in the vicinity of where I'm working, plus it's an EV play, to sign up for players' card and only play off the free play at each casinos. Also, are there people who travel around to just collect free play, and is this worth it? So the answer is, as a job, this is probably not worth it. If you're in an area, if you're in Vegas, and you can stop at several of them, yeah, you can pick up some. Many of the free play offers are, you don't know until you get there. Stations advertises up to $500, but 95% of the people get $5. So driving very far and getting $5 of free play is not worth it. Also, if you ever decide to come back and play, your first play of just basically burning them for the free play and not giving them any more action is going to put downer on future offers until you play quite a bit. So, also, a lot of free plays is you have to, they'll give you something immediately and then something more in a month and something more in 2 months. So, unless you're planning to make recurring trips to the same area, you're not really going to get the benefit of what the free play offers are.
Yeah, most of these free play offers are also very small if it's just to sign up for the card, like literally $5 or something. So if you were I think it would be a much better strategy to actually sign up for the card and put in a play, as much, you know, as large a play as you could, and then see what shows up in the mail, if it's a place you're going to be going back to for work.
Yeah, one exception to that, locally here in Vegas, is Arizona Charlie's, where for $4,000 coin in on video poker, you'll get $100 of free play. So that is that's a significant percentage. They do have 100% games where you have to play more to get it, but that would be larger than just coming in and get $5. But you will have to play.
And in addition, if you give them that $4,000 in action, you're going to get something in the mail.
Probably. All right. Another listener asks, says, I'm a good, it didn't say good looking. It says, I'm a young looking AP. Whenever I enter a casino, a security guard at the door asks for my ID. At the table, the dealer and pit boss also ask for it. I figure surveillance can rewind the cameras or view the photo of my ID scanned by security at the door. Since it's effectively impossible for me to play anonymously, should I always play rated?
Well, first of all, I would say when the security looks at your ID at the door, ask them if they have a wristband. So many places will then give you a wristband that you can show the dealer and the pit boss that you've already been ID'd. If not, so one thing people have tried is, for example, there are boats where you have to show your ID to get on the boat. And so you can show your ID, go walk around the casino a bit, and then leave and tell the security guard, I'll be back in just a few minutes. Now when you come back in, he doesn't look at your ID again. And now if you play and they rewind the tape, they'll see you going through the entrance and the guy not checking your ID. So that's one option to try to, you know, try to not have them see your name and play anonymously. But
so your answer appears to be, if at all possible, play anonymously.
Yes, that is my answer. All Unless right. you're playing for comps, and that's a different story.
All right. We have two related questions from two unrelated listeners. I think they're unrelated. It says, I realize you don't have a crystal ball, but if I earn 7-star status with Caesars this year and Caesar gets sold or the merger with Eldorado goes through, how likely is it that they will honor all the 7-star benefits in 2020? My thought is there's a really good chance that they're going to honor all of them. They have their player base. They need to keep the players happy. Now, over time, those benefits will change like they do now. Sometimes you get an extra 10,000 points if you do something along the way. Some years they have that. Some years they don't. So over time, the benefits will change. But honoring next year what they promised this year, I think the odds are really, really good that they'll do that.
Yeah, I would also add, I've had several emails from people asking, what will this mean if I've been 86 there or trespassed there or whatever? And that's a question for Bob Nersessian. Next time he's on the show, we will ask him about that. But I'm sure he will say we need to wait and see what it is. But so eventually we will address that, but we'll wait until the deal goes through and or Bob Nersessian is here.
And, well, that was a related question that I was going to ask next. And I'm going to give a different answer than Richard does. Definitely, we're going to ask Bob Nersessian next time he's on. Note to Richard, let's book him soon. We got a lot of these questions. But last time he was on, or recently when he was on, he said the trespass is by the owner. And so when the owner changes, you're no longer trespassed. So that's what Bob has said in the past. Now, it is easy for them to re-trespass you, but just walking in the door, you're not violating the law. Now, that's what I recall him saying. There might be some nuances that I'm missing, and we'll definitely ask him, but I think it goes with the owner. When the owner changes, you're no longer trespassed.
Right. So if you're already trespassed at El Dorado, it means you're now trespassed at the Caesar's properties. Maybe, because he also has said that this blanket trespass may not be a, you know, legal either. But again, your mileage may vary. Just because you have done nothing wrong does not mean they may not arrest you anyway.
Yes.
Then you'll beat it. They'll drop the charges, but it could happen. So just realize when you're walking into a casino, anything can happen.
Okay. Moving on. When I was preparing for this show, I had 6 or 7 emails that basically all asked the same thing. I'm going to read one of them, but there will be another 5 or 6 people who go, yeah, that was pretty close to mine. So we're going to answer it, but it's going to answer a lot of people's question, not who don't exactly fit the details of this one, but has the same general idea. What this email said, hi to you. Okay, I'm a middle-aged Canadian woman. I have a clean ID, plus I've been practicing card counting for the last 2 months. I work a job in sales and have several characteristics that I've practiced. The timid to loud. I can do a good nervous act. I can also be a rich bitch. I'm changing my schedule to be able to practice 30 minutes a day. Do you think that Mr. B and Just Joe should talk to me? Maybe Mr. Munchkin or any new incarnation of the church teams. I won't say no to Tommy Hyland or Stanford Wong either. So, in short, please pass on my information. My goal is to max out profitability in blackjack before the transition to video poker and then tournament poker. Please pass on my information to any and all of your associates. So that was the email, and we had a lot of them that were basically the same.
It may have been a mistake that we talked on the air about hooking up Black Asian with Mr. B and Just Joe, you know, which probably prompted a lot of those emails. It reminds me of when I was making movies, I used to get dozens of those emails saying, I'm an actor and I'd be perfect for whatever it was I was doing. So, yeah, that's not the way to go about it. It just doesn't work that way.
Yeah, Richard and I are not an OkCupid site to match things up. But what I would suggest is once you are knowledgeable in blackjack, start reading and posting on the blackjackapprenticeship.com forum. After a while, people will notice. They will notice if you are knowledgeable or full of shit. After you have a presence there and people can make some kind of a judgment as to your abilities and qualifications, you might put out something like you're looking to network with people in the Milwaukee area or whatever it is. Should knowledgeable players be looking, they would have that information, but they would have some judgment to some way to evaluate. Right now, if Richard and I start introducing people we've never heard before, then these players will go, well, if Bob and Richard are recommending them, they must have something on the ball, and we don't know you from Adam. So that's not what we're going to do. But once you start posting on the forums, then you'll have a presence and you can do your own heavy lifting.
Yeah, I would also say I would recommend the Discord, Blackjack, the Discord, as a kind of accelerated approach to that. If you're on the Discord, you can literally get into conversations that can last a long time in real time with people. And so that whole process gets accelerated. Posts on the forums, it could take months. Whereas on the Discord, it might be much shorter if people think that you seem sharp or whatever. You definitely do not want to go on either of those. And the first thing you start talking about is, I live in this area and I want to meet people. You know, blackjack players by nature are kind of paranoid and, you know, they're immediately going to assume you're a surveillance guy. So anyway, yeah, that's how you meet people. So give that a try.
You may want to consider the Blackjack Apprenticeship Boot Camp. Now, the boot camp costs $3,000 and it's over a weekend. But if you're practicing on your own, you probably need to be tested and you're probably not as good as you think you are. But should you impress there, there are working pros who help out with the Blackjack Apprentices Boot Camp. And you will meet some of them, and they will see you, and they will see your level of competence, your level of interest, and conversations can happen if it feels like a good match to both sides. Okay, new question. In the past, most of my plays have been related to arbitrage sports betting, but recently I have discovered a table game play. To my knowledge, the play itself will not draw heat other than the fact that I'm winning over time. Because of this, I've been struggling with whether or not to use a player's card or to play as a refusal. I'm thinking it's best to play as a refusal in the multi-location properties, MGM, Caesars, etc., since I assume their properties are linked and I will show up a long-term winner the moment I hand over a card. I plan to play on a card at the one-off spots because I won't be long enough for them to realize I'm not just getting lucky. What do you think about this strategy, Richard?
Well, first of all, your idea that you don't think you'll draw attention is probably erroneous. So absolutely, I would not use the card. Your idea that you won't draw heat. Just the fact that you win is going to draw heat. So I think your idea is a good one. Do not use the card. The one-off places, unless you... I wouldn't do it there either. I just wouldn't do it. Because, for example, if it's in Las Vegas and you go to the one-off place and somebody does pick you off, well, now you're going to be flyered in Vegas and you're going to burn the other places. So, I would just not use the card at all. And I would say that you probably do not know that other people are probably playing the game. So you may think you're walking into virgin territory, and especially if it's in Las Vegas, you could be walking into, you know, an inferno. So just be careful.
Very good. Next question. A listener wishes to make himself available to sports bettors who could use his help in getting bets down. He wants to know how to go about meeting bettors who could use his help. And on this, I have no clue other than generally how we said it about blackjack.
Yeah, it's exactly what we said about blackjack. So, yeah.
So just get
Although, Spanky has a partner named Chinese something. I forgot what. That is the guy's whole job, is recruiting new player for beard accounts for sports betting. And he has mentioned that, you know, both on Twitter and on the air. So I don't know. You might try contacting them, but I don't know what their process is.
Now, you have just invited people to email us to get Spanky's contact information.
I don't have it. Look on Twitter. Spanky on Twitter. Sorry, okay. Spanky, if I just gave you a grief to come.
Okay, the next question is about blackjack, but it's addressed to me, which is unusual. He wanted to know what my history was with blackjack. He wants to know, was I counting? Was I hole carding? What was I doing? If you were counting, what system did you use, and why did you switch from blackjack to video poker? So, yes, I was counting. I used the Houston APC because I wasn't smart enough to know that using high-low was going to be much better. I wanted the maximum accuracy, and never minding that I was probably making more mistakes. I was not hole carding. My eyes probably were not good enough at that time. They're definitely not good enough now. So I was not hole carding. And why did I switch from blackjack to video poker was several casinos invited me not to play blackjack there anymore. And at that time in my career, I thought that meant when they tell you not to play blackjack, that that meant you weren't supposed to play blackjack there anymore. Since I've been on the show, I realized that pros get that all the time, and they go back in a few weeks or a few months or a different shift or blah, blah, blah. So, but I, as I have said before, I went to Gambler's Bookstore trying to find something so I could stay in Vegas. I was willing to work very, very hard so I didn't have to go get a job. And I came across video poker, and that was in 94, and I haven't left yet. Okay. Next question. I've been assigned a host, and she isn't very responsive. What do I do?
Pretty simple. Fire her. So you just go to the host office and say, I want a new host. I'm not happy with the host that I have. And they give you a new one. Now, you might try networking if you know other people who play at that property.
Yes.
And ask them, do you have a host and are they a good host? And then you can ask specifically for that host, or you can just call that host directly and say, you know, I'm not happy with my host. Can you take care of me instead? So I've done that in the past, back when I used to play, you know, as a known player, which was a long time ago. But yeah, so they're in the service business.
That's right. They're a professional friend. And if their friendship is not the kind that works for you, get somebody else. But part of it is also, is do you deserve a host? If you're a quarter player who plays, you know, maximum until you lose $100 for the day, it's like the hosts aren't going to waste time with you. You need to have some kind of casino presence, of betting enough so that the casino sees you as somebody on which they can make a profit, and then the host will take care of you. Another question. Somebody warned us about the Tropicana in Atlantic City. I do not know. I have not heard this before, so it is possible this person is not an accurate reporter. But the idea was, the person plays video poker, and when he gets paid by the Trop, they pay him in cash. So that means his credits go down to zero, and then he has to feed in $100 bills to load it up again. So what he does is, while he is playing, he feeds $100 bills into an adjacent machine until he gets up to $2,000 or so. When his current machine gets down to close to zero, he puts in one of these $2,000 tickets, so he keeps playing with minimal downtime. So he wants to know if, and the casino comes up and it says, you're laundering money. We have a program that says you're feeding in bills and with minimum or no play, and that's illegal. We need you to stop immediately, or we will take action. So he wants to know if he's breaking the law. So this is a Bob Nersessian question. I don't know. I've read the law, and it appears that he's not breaking the law, but I'm not an attorney. I actually used this procedure myself at several casinos and have not had an issue with it. I've been able to convince the casino that I'm playing lots today, and I'm just going to be putting this money into the machine, and they have no problem with it. If the Trop has problem with it, you probably ought to not do it there. And so do you have anything on this?
Well, yeah, just realize, you know, people are stupid that work in casinos, and they're getting a lot of heat from the federal government over all this FinCEN stuff. That know the customer, and they're just really paranoid about it. You know, the other thing you could do is, just before you start playing, go to the cashier's cage and give them $10,000 and say, can you give me four $2,500 vouchers?
And some casinos can do that, and some are just not equipped. They cannot do that.
Yeah.
So they're just not set up.
Yeah. You might also try talking to your host. If you're playing that much, you probably have a host, and maybe they can help you.
All right. Somebody wrote, I found a plus EV blackjack game combined with welcome bonuses at my favorite online casino. I'm excited about the rate of return per hour, and the edge is great. I would say it's comparable to hole carding. So it's going great so far.
No. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
My concern is with bankroll. I have about $2,000 to work with, and I could be in danger of breaking terms of service. I heard from your podcast problems with offshore casinos, this one in particular. I'm worried my whole bankroll could be at risk if I'm not smart about how I build it. Do you have any tips about how to manage risk in the early goings of my journey?
Well, first of all, I just do not believe that you have an edge on a blackjack game equivalent of hole carding. Your edge with hole carding is 13%. And these casinos have been around long enough that I can't, I mean, I've seen them do some crazy things, but I can't believe that there is just a blackjack game with an enormous edge like that. Now, if it's a casino that already has a bad reputation for breaking the terms of service, then realize you might get screwed. So you might look at the POGG, P-O-G-G, website to see the reviews that they have. If you sign up through the POGG, they will go to bat for you, you know, if somebody stiffs you. But if you broke the terms of service, they're just going to say, sorry, we can't help you. So, yeah, I mean, without knowing the specifics casino or how you're breaking the terms of service, yeah, you want to mitigate your risk with online gambling. Spread your money at lots of different casinos, gathering those sign-up bonuses. That would be one way to mitigate the risk.
Yes, and if your entire bankroll is $2,000, you're not going to be able, there's a lot of things you're not going to be able to do. You need to have a bigger bankroll, and probably that's going to have to come from places outside of gambling.
Actually, online gambling is probably the best possible way to build your bankroll, because, you know, through sign-up bonuses, you can have such a big edge that you can build your bankroll from not very much to, you know, substantial.
Okay. Everybody builds their bankroll in different ways. And sometimes it's through working a job or working two jobs or marrying well or divorcing well or selling an asset or being in a traffic accident and breaking your back, and you get a big bankroll to do that. So, but everybody has a different way of doing it. Relatively few people do it by gambling itself. Many successful people bring in the bankroll to gambling and build it from there. But apparently my experience is different than Richard's. All right. Somebody says, been practicing jacks or better, but in order to play accurately, I can only play 200 to 300 hands per hour. And at $10 a spin, it takes 6 or 7 hours of play to get enough coin in to even qualify for piddly tiny offers at MGM and Caesars where I'm playing. He only wants to play at strip casinos. Sometimes it bumps it up to $25 a spin, but I really should not be doing this with the small money I've set aside for video poker from my main blackjack bankroll. I have friends who'll be willing to help me get more coin in per hour, so I only have to sit there for 3 hours. They would sit next to me and get more coin in, but I've learned from your show that some casinos will frown on us both playing on my card side by side at two machines. Are there any video poker variants that are $10 a spin where maybe a flush or straight pays higher than jacks or better, but the royal would be less than a taxable? If my friend gets taxable on my player's card, it could get us in trouble with the casino. It's a lot of points here. First of all, $10 a spin means a $2 game. Now, to have any shot at doing well at jacks or better, it needs to be 9-6 jacks or better. These games do not exist at Caesar's Palace properties in Las Vegas, and he says he only plays on the Strip. So if he's playing $2 video poker jacks or better, he's playing 9-5 or worse. 9-5 is a 98.45% game, which Caesar's has nowhere near enough of a slot club generally to make that worthwhile. There can be promotions where it's a good deal. So I'm not sure of the current at MGM properties. I've been invited not to play there very much. So getting people to play with you, it is unusual to get these people to play for free. Somehow you're going to have to compensate them. And you're already playing a pretty bad game. So I'm not sure how that's going to benefit you. Playing two cards side by side is usually not a problem. Certainly if husband and wife do it, it's frequently that they'll both play on the husband's card one day and the wife's card the other day. This makes a lot more sense than playing on both cards both days, because your average per day is higher. It's the same amount of total play. There have been cases where players are playing and the non-name player hits a jackpot and the players switch seats. Casinos often will let that slide. So you're asking about places with royal flushes pay under taxables, and they're currently the only games that do that are for quarters, which are $1.25 a spin, not $10. It is possible to play quarter 10 play, which is $12.50 per hand, which would probably qualify. And then to get a taxable, you need to play, you need to hit two royals on 10, which it is probably easier to get 10 royals, which is a dealt royal, than it is to get exactly two. I haven't quite worked out the math, but I think it's easier to get a dealt royal than it is to get a two royals on 10 play. But at Caesars properly, certainly, you're not going to find 9-6 jacks in quarter 10 play. And so if you insist on only playing on strip properties, you're just SOL at Caesars property. 200 to 300 hands an hour is extremely slow. I understand you don't want to make mistakes, and that's admirable, but you need more practice. Players typically playing 1,000 hands an hour, something like that, 800 or 1,000 hands an hour would be a typical speed for knowledgeable players. If you're playing 200 to 300 hands an hour, you need a lot more practice before you're able to go play in casinos for real money. All right, we have several more questions to ask, but first we're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back to asking Bob and Richard's questions. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In September, the promotion of the month is the ability to earn up to 3 bottles a week of South Point 400 commemorative bottles of City Lights Shine, the only legal distillery in Las Vegas. It's 800 points per bottle. You keep the points. There are 6 flavors to choose between. This coming Tuesday, September 10th, is week 2 of the free 10-week semester of video poker classes at the South Point. First class of that day will be 9-7 double bonus, and the second class that day, beginning about 2 p.m., will be 9-6 double double bonus. These games both return approximately 99%, which is lower than the other classes we teach in the semester, but they're played very similarly to the 100% games, which are available in a few places around town where they punish you for playing it. Both of these games provide a good foundation for classes later in the semester. They also differ on how much you get for straights, how much you get for flushes. And you'll see how the strategy changes by these small differences in the pay schedules. So you become more knowledgeable on how pay schedules affect your strategy. There are a large number of players who play all video poker games more or less the same, and that is not a winning philosophy. At videopoker.com, it's the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on lots of games. Game of the week is Stack the Deck. This is a 7 coins per line game where on dealt hands of trips, quads, full houses, and four to the royal, you receive from 3 to 5 extra cards of the exact card to make up your hand. That is, if you're dealt 3-3-3-6-6, instead of having one extra three to make the quads, if you draw to it, you now have six threes out of a 52 cards, giving you plenty of chances for quads, five of a kinds, and quads with a kicker. They have an extra pay schedule categories of a baby royal, which means king to nine, straight flush, and five of a kind. Since the game is fixed as a seven-coin game, sometimes they have to change the pay schedule to make the game within acceptable bounds. Acceptable bounds means low enough so the casino has the nerve to put it out there and high enough to interest the player. So that is the normal 9-6 double-double bonus game becomes 10-7-5. With a 10-7-5 game on a hand like Ace-King-5 of hearts and 2-3 of another suit, you hold Ace-King-5. This is highly unusual. In normal double-double bonus, you just hold Ace-King. So if you're going to play, you need to relearn the strategy. It is easy to learn with the available software out there, including Video Poker for Winners, and there are other brands as well. All right, we're back to Bob and Richard questions. Somebody says, I have this Baccarat system, and I've made close to $170,000 in just over 600 hours of play with some huge swings. Did I just get lucky? Short answer is going to be yes. But there is not math behind this, but rather a specialized charting method and bet ramp. I prefer this over blackjack as I'm able to have $10,000 shoes, where if I did that on blackjack, I'm for sure shown the door. So, Richard, did he just get lucky, or is there method to his madness?
It sure sounds like he just got lucky. As he said, he had huge swings. So, you got lucky. If this is not math and it's some betting ramp thing, you got lucky, and I would stop now, or disaster awaits.
Okay, somebody else asked about my gambling log. Do I do it daily or hourly or whatever? And what's my summary? Or is it more involved than that? I personally use an Excel spreadsheet. So on the Excel spreadsheet, I'll put the date. I will put the day of the week to make it easier in my brain to go on. I'll give the casino. I will give the game I was playing, including denomination. I will use free play, and then I would give the results. If the whatever W2Gs I hit that day, I would list them all with an identifying number. Most W2Gs have some kind of an ID number, so the casino can say the one you hit at 4 o'clock is different than the one you hit at 5 o'clock. Sometimes the ID number is just the time of day stamp. So if they just have a time of day of 3:14:59, then that's what I'll write in my log, 3:14:59. So this, on not part of my log, but in records that I keep, is my starting and ending slot club points. If I can get it from the casino. Some slot clubs, it's you can't get that, but most you can. The reason is, if I'm going back to a particular casino and I have my records that saying last time I left I had 67,000 and blah, blah, blah points, and this time I show up I have 56,000 and blah, 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 I'm going to the slot club immediately and talking to them about it. The several casinos lose points more frequently than others. I will have records of my slot club points every time I play there. And if you have records, they will generally give you the benefit of the doubt. They know their system has flaws, and if you have records, they will assume you're telling the truth. But these cannot be records that look like you just created them before you came in. And so you need to know the exact number you had on various days. And people who don't have those records are just taking what the machine plays. Now, if I left yesterday, I have a pretty good idea of what it was. But if I haven't played there for 3 months, I will have totally forgotten my number points within several thousand.
Yeah, I put the date, the casino, the win or loss, the game played, expenses involved. Like if I'm flying somewhere, you know, I'll track my expenses. And most importantly, a comment section that'll have notes about dealers, bosses, anything unusual that happened, any game that looked like it might have potential, that kind of thing.
Good. And so Richard's log, see, my log is primarily for IRS tax purposes. Richard's log is primarily for his knowledge purposes, but for
well,
both.
It's both. Yeah. Yeah.
And it is perfectly legal to have two logs. For example, Richard may not want the comment section to be listed in the log that he shows to the IRS. I personally would.
Yeah, if I were audited, I would not include that.
And column. I probably would on the basis of that shows pretty good evidence that he's handling this like a business and he's a professional player. And these are would be. And so you start showing these things to the auditor, like this means this and that means that. And they'll be fascinated by those notes and totally distracted by whatever else is on the log. All right, another question. Is it too late to learn how to beat video poker? And the answer is an unqualified maybe. The video poker edge that exists in 2019 is definitely less than existed 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago or 40 years ago. It's also true that the tools you can use to beat it are better today. The software that allows you to practice, that'll create a strategy, the networking that goes on. So there's a lot more information out there today. There are still a number of players who are successful at beating video poker. In Las Vegas, the ones who do it the most are ones who play progressives. Progressives are the Royal starts at 4,000 coins, usually on a bad pay schedule, but the progressive keeps growing high enough till eventually it's worth playing. So a number of players who do that, and they have either informal or formal teams where one member of the team searches the ones in the Henderson area and another one searches the ones in the Summerlin area and another one searches the ones in blah, blah, blah area. And when one or more is high enough, then they all descend and keep playing until they take down the progressive. So that is the way that the most successful players in Vegas are doing it today. Another question, the blackjack player from Poland, who tells us that it's in Europe. Thank you for that information. He knows basic strategy and counting cards, and do we organize some course in blackjack? He's interested in it. And if you want a course in blackjack, I suggest you talk to the people at blackjackapprenticeship.com. Colin Jones was on our show less than a month ago. Check out that interview and see if he sounds like somebody you could work with. And if it is, then he's the one to see about that. He has a good course. It's not cheap. It's $3,000. But it is the players who go through it believe they got a lot of benefit out of it.
Boy, if you're going to keep plugging his course, we ought to get him as a sponsor.
That's a good idea. That's a good idea. Now, Colin, are you listening? All right. Somebody played over 2 million hands of 25-cent full play deuces wild. That is a game that returns 100.76%. He's 25 deuces below expectation. By deuces, he means a hand of 4 deuces. Is there a mathematical limit to how bad it can get? The more hands you play, the closer to expectation you should get. Is it possible to go to 50 or 100 sets of deuces below expectation when I get to 5 million hands. Okay. Full pay deuces wild has a deuces frequency of 4,910 hands, which means every time you deal, you have a 1 in 4,910 to end up with 4 deuces. There will be days that you get 4 deuces 5 times. There will be days that you go much, much, much longer than 4,910. If you play 2,000 hands, there should be 413 sets of deuces. Should be is the wrong word. The average number of sets of deuces that you get is 413. You have about 10% chance of hitting 387 or fewer sets of deuces, where 387 is 25 sets below. Although clearly my math is wrong, 25 sets would be 388. Okay, so if you play another 2 million hands, there's a 90% chance that you're going to get more than 388 sets of deuces. But there's no video poker scorekeeper in the sky who's keeping track of how many sets you've received. Every hand, it's a 1 in 4,910. So, yeah, you're going through a bad spell, but being down something where you have a 10% probability of it happening is not that rare. There will be times that you...
It'll seem like about 10% of the time.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, the main thing is, you know, the machine isn't cheating or whatever. You know, your result is not highly unusual.
That's right. It's like every time you draw to a pair of aces and you draw 3 cards, there's 1 in 360 approximately. It's actually 3 in 1081 that you're going to end up with 4 aces this time. So that is significantly, you know, so that's closer to 2.5%. And yet you've all had times where it happens. And when it doesn't happen, you get annoyed by it. But over time, it works out pretty close, generally. But it doesn't have to for every player. Somebody wants to know, what's the best way to play promotional chips in a casino? I was thinking of Baccarat to play both player and banker at the same time and get 50% of chip value. Is there a better solution? I'm going to say many. But Richard, how would you answer the question?
Well, first of all, it depends on the type of chip.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a full value chip, meaning you can bet it, and if you win, you can bet it again, well, then it's just like real money. I mean, almost like real money. So you should bet it on anything where you have an edge. And if you can't bet it with an edge, then you should bet it on something that has the least disadvantage. So, you know, if they had, for example, 3, 4, 5 odds on craps, you could make a line bet on the crap table and then bet that chip as part of, as the odds. Right? Especially if it's, you know, 3, 4, or 5 times the amount that you're betting on the pass line. Or, you know, if you know basic strategy, or even better, if you know how to count, you could just wait until you saw an edge at a blackjack table and bet it on a blackjack table. Often people are obsessed with not taking a swing. They want to bet both sides of something so that they can lock in that win. And it's just mathematically wrong. You're giving away money by doing that. So now the...
But you're also minimizing risk, which for some people is highly important.
Yes. Yes, that's true. And if that's the case, I mean, I used to get chips and they would convert the chip. Say a $500 chip, they would give me $105 slot tokens. And you can run that through a video poker machine one time. And, you know, again, that doesn't lock in your half win, but, you know, it's you'd have much less variance, right? If you're making smaller bets. If the chip is the kind where they're going to take it whether you win or lose. So there are chips where you bet $100 and, you know, if you win the bet, they're going to take it away and pay you. Well, then the ideal thing to do is to bet it on something with really high variance, like
roulette, maybe
straight up on a number at roulette. Yeah, or something like that. But most places have learned that they won't let you do that with those chips. But if you can find anything, you know, that pays odds, you're getting more money for that chip than if you bet it at an even money bet.
Good. All right.
Yes. By the way, so there's an article by James Grosheen called, I think, Beyond Coupons. Uh-huh. Where he talks about all these different kind of things. And our listener basically said, TLDR, too long, didn't read. And it just, you know, what that says to me is that is not somebody who takes professional gambling seriously. You know, when I started playing, all the members of teams that I played with, everybody I knew would obsessively read anything they could get their hands on. You know, so if you're actually interested in making a living at this, you know, maybe you're not cut out for it if you don't want to read and actually learn. You just want somebody to tell you the answer.
Very good. We have time for one more question, assuming we keep our answer to 4 minutes or less. So, Richard, the pressure's on you here. Says, I was reading through your blog and listening to your podcast, and you always make it a point to talk about finding other advantage plays. How do you even begin to exploit a game where the information is scarce?
Well, what makes the information good is the fact that it's scarce. Because when people know about something, like card counting, it gets harder and harder to actually make any money at it. And the only way that I know is by networking with people. And, you know, by scouring the forums and Twitter, you know, for example, there's a lot of information out there on Twitter for advantage slot machines. So, you know, that would be, there's one example, you know, video poker classes at the South Point that Bob teaches.
What a good idea.
Right. But other than that, it's networking. The more people you know, the more you will hear about other types of games that people are beating.
And the more knowledgeable you are and the smarter you are, you'll be able to see these things by yourself.
That's the other thing. Once you realize how to beat a game in a particular way, you will see things in a casino and say, gee, I wonder if this would apply to that game. And then you can start talking to people you trust about your idea. And often that's the way good projects get born.
Yeah. And so I'm not a computer programmer, although I did it years ago. I have a go-to computer programmer guy who, if something needs to be worked out, he's willing to do it for, well, he's not cheap. But if it's a big enough play, I'm interested in paying that to do it. There's a lot of sources like the wizardofodds.com where they give strategies for a lot of different things. Some of those strategies are for advantage plays, and many of them are not for advantage plays. So you need to pick and choose which ones you go for. But certainly the in Ultimate X, for example, for the best pay schedules, they'll have Ultimate X strategies that nobody else has. And so that can be a valuable source of information.
Cartwright, who's been on our show, does that kind of analysis for people.
Yes. Very good. So we told you why we have to quit before an hour. Well, it's really close to an hour. So thank you for listening. Richard, thank you for all your answers. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.